understand it. This is like, if you go to the, if you look at.
Call to order the Transportation Committee meeting of Mount Pleasant Town Council for Monday, May the 6th, 2019. Welcome, everybody. The agenda has been published, and item number one on that is approval of the minutes from the April 1st, 2019 committee meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved. Item number two is public comments. If you would like to comment on anything to this committee, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes, please. Anyone? Try it one more time. Last call for alcohol. Okay. That will move us to item number three, discussion of rideshare safety issues. So I think there have been some concerns after recent highly publicized events, so I will turn this over to whomever.
I think it was Mayor, perhaps, was it you, sir, who added it to the or requested that it be added to the agenda? So if it's okay with you, sir,
absolutely.
We're happy to talk as you and committee see fit.
Thank you. After the incident in Columbia, I just wanted to put this on the agenda to see if we could get transportation and the police department to look at the safety issues at the nightlife venues, and is there a safer spot to designate for pickups than currently in use? That's really the reason I put it on. Is it something transportation could do, Mr. Morrison? In other words, look at other places, see if there's, is there a designation of a pickup spot that could work, or?
That's certainly a possibility, Mr. Kinane. We probably want to get with the police and identify where these are. The House bill, the way I read the House bill in the current state is, you know, they were wanting to have an illuminated sign or something like that, and now they've changed that to the license plate, which makes a lot more sense, so you can match that up. So that's, you know, I think that was, that's where the bill stands, but certainly.
I think on the ground safety is more what I was looking at, because I know the state's going to address the motor vehicle laws, which we have no part of.
That would just be identifying, I suppose, where we have.
Pickup spot would be,
Church Street.
Yeah. Right. I think we discussed it, Mr. Yeah, DeMore.
With some lighting and, or just.
Right, a place that's lit up or even with a camera, although it didn't help the situation that happened in Columbia to have a camera, but. I think if people know there's a designated spot and people are paying attention, you know, the security from the nearby businesses would be aware of it. We have a town location there between two big venues on the creek.
So we can look at if it's the desire of committee to go ahead and explore Church Street for opportunities for pickup for rideshare.
Okay, I'd like to put that in the form of a motion just to have direct staff to look at the issue.
Is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
I'm not entirely clear on what we're talking about here with pickup spots. I mean, this is a place that where you are, you call. I'm just not clear on what we're asking staff to do here. Maybe some clarification.
See if there's a safe, if there's a safe location where we can designate for the pickups in order, you know, as we get late hours, and we saw what happened in Columbia with the college student.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what Mr. Kinane's saying, but folks leaving these venues, bars, or wherever, we don't want them walking around hunting for a place. I would think that the Uber or the Lyft would go to that venue and pick them up rather than having folks walking around. Saying I'm walking down to the Uber spot. I think it'd be better to have the Uber go right there to pick them up, so they don't have to walk around. You know, we have bus stops people don't use, and then we have stops for like the Craigslist people selling stuff on Craigslist. We established a spot here in the parking lot of the police department for that, so people could be safe, but. I would think it would be worse to have people walking around looking for a spot to meet, to gather to get to Uber. I'd rather have Uber just go ahead and, you know, they have to expend the energy to get to the person and have them travel as little as possible. I understand, but I think having people who've been drinking walking all around trying to get to a spot is probably counterproductive.
Right. There's a town located, the town owns a spot in between the two very big venues, so it's okay. Yeah. Canadian brings it up. Bustos is against it. I get it.
So if we're going to designate a spot,
it is okay.
Excuse me. If we're going to designate a spot, and you are leaving a place on Shem Creek in our entertainment district at midnight, and it's pouring rain or a summer thunderstorm, are we going to require you to walk down the street to a designated pick? I mean, that's kind of like that's what a bus does. And Uber and Lyft are fulfilling a rideshare thing that public transit doesn't. So are we going to say, yeah, you got to leave the restaurant and walk down the street and stand out there in the rain for your Uber or your Lyft? I don't think that's going to have any effect at all. So I'm asking what the effort is here. And how would we designate such a space?
We declare it and then notify the rideshare companies that this is the spot you would pick up from. Not drop off, but you'd pick up here. Similar to what a lot of airports do. It's not uncommon, but that's what we do. We look at Church Street, find a location that seemed to make sense, and if you wanted for us to post that location, notify the rideshare company.
If we were going to do it there, why wouldn't we do it at Town Center? Why wouldn't we do it on Johnny Dodd's, for that matter? I mean, why are we just doing it in one spot?
I think this is a committee discussion. We're happy to meet.
Come on, Mr. DeMora.
We could do it anywhere. If you all said, hey, we wanted it every commercial establishment that, you know, a shopping type area, we could do that too. It's whatever you all would like for us to do.
I'm just asking, I mean, are we going to use public right-of-way for these private businesses to stop and pick people up as opposed to them pulling into the drive of the establishment where they're picking it up? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of this that hasn't been thought out. Like I said, I don't know what we're asking staff to do. Yes, sir. Would you like to illuminate that a little bit?
So Will Haney's against what Canaan brings up too. That's cool. It's no problem. The thing is,
you know, you're really out of order, so please comment on the substance of the matter and not the motives of other people.
Sure. The issue came up with a very tragic event. I don't know what the answers are, but we do have a transportation staff. We do have a police department. And I think we could look at this and see if there's a way for us to be cutting edge to make sure we do what we can to make it as safe as possible. Maybe there's no changes. Maybe they come back and say everything's working great. But to ignore it, we're going to pretend that everything's fine. I don't think that's a good answer with what happened out there in Columbia.
Mr. Bustos.
Yeah, I agree. It was a tragic thing that happened. I would think that this, more than a transportation issue, is a public safety issue. And I think we should ask the police department to bring the PLJ committee a set of recommendations with regard to rideshare safety, if they have any, and if they don't, they don't. But I think this should be asked of the police department, because I do believe it's public safety. And I can put that in the form of a motion if you wish.
All right. We had a prior motion, but I don't believe we had a second.
My first motion also included the police department. So.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's limited to the police department, ask the police department for a set of recommendations. Could you change your motion to that?
The only reason I think transportation is involved is there may be options to put some signage or something along those lines. Line painting. I don't know. I'm not a traffic engineer, but we do have two excellent ones sitting at the table and several others that work for the department. I don't see a real major problem with asking them to take a look around at other municipalities and what they're doing as a result of this, because it's a pretty hot topic in other places too.
Okay. And if it's the mayor, if I may.
Yes.
If it's the will of committee, we'll be happy to do it. But in addition to that, would you like for us to do it now, if you so deem so, or wait until that bill in Columbia comes through the process to see what the legislature...
There is a difference between the two, I think, because they're addressing the motor vehicle side, and we're not going to address that.
Right.
We're talking about what we can do on the ground here. Okay. And again, maybe they come back and say everything's working great, and that would be wonderful. But we have a big staff, qualified staff. I think they could look at it and say, bring back what, if anything, can be done to make things safer.
If the motion includes seeing what other places are doing, and I think law enforcement probably has to lead on this, I got no problem with that. So would you like to restate the motion?
It was a motion to have staff examine the issue of ride sharing to see if there's anything we could do to make it safer on the ground here in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
And it may be multidisciplined between transportation, police, maybe planning, I don't know.
Before we ask for a second, is that specific enough, Mr. DeMora, for staff purposes? Do you need more specificity? Or?
It's fine.
Okay, it's fine. Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Have a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Item number four is discussion of the street sign replacement program. Mr. DeMora.
Oh, yes, sir. You received a memo from me last week about the progress and staff's reasoning behind the program. There's been mentioned by some as to the need to continue that program in a historic area. And so I wanted to bring that issue back up before committee, and to let you know that if it's committee's desire that we focus our attention on other parts of town, then let us know, and we'd be happy to do that.
I asked Mr. DeMora to put this on there. I want to give our staff some relief. We're caught in a vice here, and the chair would be looking for a motion that we do exactly that, that we direct staff to work on other areas of town and to stand down on our one and only historic district until further instruction.
I would like to make a motion that we give staff relief on that.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
So this is just putting it off.
Yes.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and we have a second. Is there any further discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item number five, Charleston County Transportation Committee C Fund and Transportation Sales Tax Project Request.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You did receive a memo on this also. It's an annual request from the two entities we mentioned up there, CTC, Charleston County Transportation Committee, and the half-cent sales tax, transportation sales tax. So what we generally do every year is we take three areas of projects, intersection improvements, drainage, and sidewalk pedestrian projects, and we prioritize those and submit it to the committee for submission to those entities. So these are prioritized. The bike and ped are prioritized by a grading criteria that we staff developed. I think we talked about this last year, Mayor. So what you see there is actually, we don't have the grade rankings, but they're ranked in the grade that they receive through that process. And then the intersection improvements, quite frankly, are based upon what can really fall within the reach of those, the funding capability of those entities, because a lot of our CIP projects are well over $1 million. So it's actually a little difficult to find a smaller project, but these are two that we're going to recommend that we proceed forward with. the first being in the intersection improvements, Lexington and All-American. We're doing a what we call a mini roundabout at Bell Hall and Paul Foster. That's already under design through the CTC. So they'll actually have a little bit of experience if they were to select this one, and that would really dovetail well with the All-American Boulevard project when that is fully implemented. The next number two project is actually a phase of a $2 million plus project, but we do have some funding that's been provided through the Charleston County School District that we can put towards that project. So that's why it's in number two. We actually have some cost sharing there. Drainage improvements come from Hillary out of Public Services. I don't think those changed from last year. We still have the funding need, and then the rest of the projects are bike and ped.
Can I ask a question about the drainage improvements? How did we prioritize those?
I'm going to have to let Hillary answer that.
Thank you. Mayor, generally we send projects that we've identified and don't have any funding for to this group. These projects are part of just our maintenance program, really comprehensive maintenance, where the systems need to be rehabilitated, but they rank lower in our maintenance program, so shuffling projects and money. The roadside ditch restoration program number two for Darrell Creek and Commonwealth has been in our sort of three-year view for a while, but it's been pushed back as we have more pipe failures coming forward. So we wanted to keep that alive. And the Shem Creek Park, likewise, that's a high maintenance. We have a pervious surface down there, the shell sand, and it is constantly rutting and eroding out into the creek. So we felt that that would sort of serve both a public maintenance safety and water quality impact. So we,
I get that, and I see it a lot. I guess a question that I would ask is, I mean, we've got $500,000 for our own park and parking. I was just wondering how that rates over, you know, any streets where we know there's flooding and we have residents sandbagging homes and stuff. I want to be able to.
So the county has funded several of our drainage capital improvement projects in the past. They tend to come up fairly expensive, as we know. We still have an open project from 2013 that we're struggling with permitting and some homeowners with easements on. So we've been pushing projects in this area in our maintenance and rehab arena more so than the capital projects. They seem to be more fundable. So we fall behind on the maintenance items. So our drainage roadside ditch maintenance program was one area where we are lacking funding. That's just keeping up with the everyday drainage canals over long neighborhoods with the ditches. And then the park and water quality aspects of Shem Creek prioritize the Shem Creek one up higher than the capital maintenance. They're not guaranteed. We send them the entire list, and they usually pick one project for the town against road intersection improvements and sidewalks. So okay. Just trying to keep those programs in the hopper.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Committee? Yes, sir. Mr. Broomer.
So, Mr. Morrison, the Lexington Drive All-American Boulevard roundabout, that kind of surprised me. And maybe it surprised me based on the size, but you said there was a ranking system that put that at the top?
We don't have a quantitative ranking system like we do for the bike and ped for those.
Okay.
So, yes, it was quantitative for that, but these are the only two on a whole list of projects that come anywhere near the funding capability, less than $500,000.
Yeah, because I was thinking of other intersections that I know need work, but they would probably be in the $1 million plus. So, okay.
If you know of one that you think is in that range, we'd like to hear it. But we probably have it on a list, and we probably have a cost estimate for it.
Okay. So. And could you also just talk a little bit about on the pedestrian and bike improvement? What are the plans for, if any, for sidewalks or multi-use paths along Darrell Creek Trail, tying those neighborhoods down to the schools and the library and that whole area? Because I know there's some there now, but certainly not all the way up the road.
Right. And as you know, when we started talking about this last year, we have way more funding needs on this aspect than we'd probably ever be able to get in funding. But we have projects in the area, Darrell Creek Trail. I know there's been discussions recently about trying to get a connection between Tupelo and Darrell Creek Trail, et cetera. So we have, I don't know if we have that, because normally we look at right-of-way projects, not apart, off-grid, but we can certainly, make the argument that they could be eligible for funding, but we do have projects in that area on the list.
Yeah, I'm mainly concerned, I mean, obviously the whole roadway needs some sort of sidewalk, but you've got a big section of Carolina Park across Darrell Creek Trail, and trying to tie those, especially kids, into the schools that are in Carolina Park and also the new library that's opening up in the stadium. There just doesn't seem to be a safe way for those kids to move except going through the other neighborhoods in Carolina Park. So I didn't know if that was something that was on the radar for y'all to, and whether that might be eligible for this kind of funding as well.
We've done some improvements to the crosswalk from the, I don't know what the section of Carolina Park is, but it's on the east side, what you're referring to. So we've done some upgrades to that crossing there, and we do rank higher projects that contribute or, you know, are near a school or a public civic use, so that's considered. So, you know, it's factored in. We can look at, you know, eventually we'll probably have to look at a higher type treatment for the crossing you're talking about as volumes rise. A lot of that depends on the PED volume, but, and we've made strides in that area. Kevin Mitchell's project that linked the back of Darrell Creek Trail was actually co-funded with a developer of that and the school, I believe, to do a multi-use path. So we're making strides in that area. But Darrell Creek Trail itself, maybe I can get with Kevin with their discussion and see if we can have some potential to make requests through this funding for that.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Questions? Comments?
Just for comparison's sake, for instance, everybody has trouble with the intersection right here at Houston Northcutt, you know, right here by Melvin's and stuff and all those lanes. If something like that, and I'm just using that because it's everybody's probably going to go through it today, to get some intersection improvements on that, are we talking more than this, the scope of this funding, this source of funding?
Yes, sir, and that's a good question. I'll put it in perspective for you. We considered in our CIP this year some improvements at Ananap and 17, and we ended up actually funding the Mathis Ferry project we talked about, the $2.7 million, without getting right-of-way on that project. I think it's about $1.8 million because you're working on that a six-lane facility. So something here at Houston Northcutt is going to be north of that. So, yes, sir. Order of magnitude, it's much, much greater.
Much greater.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just helps with the perspective.
Yes, sir. I certainly understand.
Okay. So do you need a motion and a vote on this from the committee?
Yes, sir. If you're so inclined, we just ask that you would adopt what you see there. And number one will be the number one. Stuart Ingalls would actually be the number one project for bike and ped. And we've pulled them out in high and low. But number two would be Walkendall. And then the rest of the rankings would be as you see. And when we submit it, the sales tax generally makes a decision first, what gets funded. So what doesn't get funded is the next one in the line for the CTC.
Okay. So can we get a motion from the committee, please?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we adopt the recommendations of transportation staff.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt these recommendations as presented by transportation staff to recommend for funding.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a motion. Have a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That's unanimous. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Item six is discuss a crosswalk on Coleman at the Boulevard. I think they're getting ready to do the surface, and this question comes up a lot. And is it a possibility, or is the contract too far down the road, or what's the chances of getting a crosswalk there?
Based upon a couple things, Mayor, the chances are, at least in this contract, are not possible because we'd have to get a design modification. But there's two things to consider, I think, that the committee needs to consider. And that is the feasibility of such a crosswalk for approval by the DOT. And what that will require is a because generally we don't like to see mid-block crossings because of the safety issue. I know it's happening. There's a law that particularly once we get in the Farrago signal that requires you to seek the most adjacent signalized and or marked crosswalk.
Okay.
So that's something that we can work for on a work on an enforcement side, an information side. You know, here we have a large residential community right across from commercial community. I see the attraction. Obviously, I think we need to do some work with our PIO to get in there and educate them on that. There is the possibility of if we need to, and you've probably seen this on Assembly Street in Columbia, where the college or the university was having issues, the same type of issues is that you can install a physical, you know, an attractive physical barrier. And we actually, there's a vendor that we used on the interchange at Hungry Neck that's a pretty nice, it's aluminum, but it looks like it's, you know, some sort of iron fence. But you could do that at about 36, 40 inches. They won't. People are not going to try to get it. They should not try to get over that. But that could be a possibility if we wanted to. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's at other locations in the future. But once we get the Farrago signal in, they'll be less than 500 feet from the signal. So that's what I have to offer. The approval of a mid-block crossing is highly unlikely from the department. We can pursue these other aspects.
Yes, sir.
If you put a crosswalk in, does traffic have to, is it one that traffic has to stop if someone's in the crosswalk?
It's a good question, Mr. Bustos. It depends on the volume of traffic, pedestrian traffic, I should say. Well, and it also depends on the vehicular traffic. But minimally, you're talking about if you have enough pedestrian volume to warrant that type of treatment, it would be what an RRFB, that rectangular rapid flashing beacon that we have out at Park West Boulevard. That's not that's a yield condition for the vehicles. It's required to yield. If you go with a it's a different treatment, but it's almost like a pedestrian. It is a pedestrian signal. Then you're talking about essentially building something like a signal, which is a higher cost. But yes, it would be. It would be an official, you'd have to stop. You get a red ball saying stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also a crossing on Coleman that is marked. It's further down by the donut shop. But
yes, sir.
But it's regular. I mean, it's ignored. Nobody uses it. But they do use the divided island, there.
Mm-hmm.
And the islands that we're putting in now are going to be the same way. I mean, they're going to be used by pedestrians as a safe haven until they can get the rest of the way across the street. And, I think mid-block, people, as a practical matter, people are not going to walk up to the traffic light to cross. They're going to come out of the boulevard. They're going to walk right down and walk across to go to Starbucks. They're not going to go 500 feet down and 500 feet back up to get a cup of coffee. Just not going to do it. I think something needs to go there because.
Well, then it would probably have to be a barrier, if that's the case. It would have to be a barrier.
You mean to stop them?
Yes, sir.
No, they'll climb it. I'm telling you, they've gone over the bushes. The trees, everything else right there. I mean,
well,
hop over a little barrier is.
We can make the request. At the
department. Yeah, we could make the request if you're asking asking about making a request for a mid-block crossing. We can make that request. I know what's going to be required of the study, but we could pursue that. We could at least pursue that.
What does that involve? What does that entail?
You go out and you count the number of pedestrians throughout the day, and I mean, there's some MUTCD guidance on this that tells you what you need to do. MUTCD is the Bible of traffic studies or whatever. So it's a study that you have to produce for the department to make a decision.
I guess what I'm struggling with is when an urban corridor was designed, we put all the people on this side of the street and all the places they want to go on that side of the street with no way to cross in there. I mean, if you look at it, you can see where the footpaths mm-hmm. are through the median. And one day we're going to end up, their timing's going to be bad. You know, I'm not trying to make any more work for our transportation department, but I just wonder, you know, how much is involved with at least making a request to see if we can get a mid.
We can do that.
Would it cost money? Would it cost us money?
It's fine. We have resources budgeted right for these kinds of things.
It's no problem. Yes, sir, Mr. Kinney.
Thank you, sir. What I'm curious about is when they built this boulevard complex, they had a traffic study, right? A big one.
It's an impact study.
Hired by people like yourselves, master's degrees probably to write them. They didn't think about pedestrians, all the residents in their new building, and how they're going to cross. I mean, to me, this seems like something that the owner of that apartment complex should be tasked with fixing. You know, even if a fence is required, why are we paying for it? They created the problem.
Well, that discussion did occur because it would be an obvious attraction. Once again, you have to go back to what does the law say about what you're required to do. What can we achieve through maybe a request for a mid-block crossing, those types of things. But it's got to be done within the context of what's approvable.
And I know the Uniform Manual Traffic Control Devices, because I've been involved in lawsuits connected to it. It's not something to be discarded. You have to follow it to the letter. Right. And it's just seems to me like we're going down a rabbit hole here to solve a problem that these profit-making businesses had to know about. If a barrier is required, I'd like to try and figure out if they could pay for it. I don't know if it's possible. Mr. DeMore, maybe you could chime in on that.
We can make the request, but I don't anticipate we'd be successful.
But, I mean, I think it's a good lesson learned for these massive density hubs we're talking about, that we make sure that everything sounds good on paper. Everybody's going to live there, and they're going to work right across the street or down the block, and everything's going to be great. Well, here's an example of where it's not great. Somebody is going to get hurt here. But we can't violate the manual by sticking in a crosswalk. I mean, and I don't think we should be spending money for it either, but at the same time, we don't want to let somebody get hit by a car out there. So I think this is a perfect case study of what the problem is with density, because this was not a neighborhood that was created for density. We're trying to stick density in the middle of a single-family neighborhood and what used to be, I guess, a supermarket or something on the other side that people would, like a typical suburb, would drive in their car mostly to get to. And then we stick this massive apartment complex in, and, oh, gee, people want to walk across the street. You know, seems to me it should be addressed by the people who are making the money there, not by us. Thank you.
The complex was sold, I believe, right? So the person who owns it now is not the person who developed it.
Correct.
I'd like to see us at least go through the effort of applying for a crosswalk. At least we've done some due diligence on our part to alleviate what I think is a dangerous situation. If someone would like to make a motion.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Boulevard 2 is under construction right now. And just for everyone's information, where you see that paved area with the white structure on it, white roof structure right there, that is now being filled with apartments, which is going to make this worse. And I don't know who's building Boulevard 2. Maybe the same person built Boulevard 1. I don't know. Perhaps, as Mr. Kinane said, they should be, since they're going to be adding to the problem, they should have to they recognize that they were making the parking problem worse, and they're adding a parking lot in that area, a multi-story parking lot. But this is, this may be something we need to look at as well, because as soon as that's finished, the number of pedestrians will go up. So I'll make a motion that we
recommend staff to request from the state.
Yes, sir. We actually submit a study for it.
They proceed with the study to provide to the state and request the state for a mid-block crossing there at the boulevard.
I'll second for discussion.
All right, we have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Knapp.
I just was wondering, when you say study, Mr. Morrison, how much is that going to cost the town? Well, can we do it with interns or something?
You all give us money every year to do many studies. And so we'd rather do it right, make sure it's done professionally. I think DOT is going to expect that. But just let us go ahead and march forward and do the study professionally and submit it to the department.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Update on ongoing projects?
yes, sir. I have two project updates this month. The first one, as always, is Coleman Boulevard, and we're in the home stretch on that project.
Write a letter to the editor of the newspaper about that.
We are in the home stretch. If we could get the decorative mast arm signals to come in, we could install those and go ahead and start paving. But if you notice, a lot of the traffic signals are sticking out in the kind of in the travel way right now. So that's what we're waiting on. They should have been delivered in May, but they're coming in June. So we'll get those installed, then we can start paving, the final paving for the project. So we're definitely in the home stretch, and paving should start in June, in July, and that'll continue into August, and we'll wrap everything up in September.
So late summer, early fall.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A lot of people will be glad to see that.
Yep, yep.
If I could.
Yes.
One other thing we had talked about was Faison Road and 17. This is an ongoing project, but it's one that's out there, as well as I think we were either doing a warrant study for Faison and Park Avenue. Is that right?
Yeah. We've had those discussions. We've updated the warrant study twice now, but since that time for at Faison and Park Avenue Boulevard, which is by the Costco, it's our understanding, we've had discussions with the Carolina Park developer, that they're going to proceed forward with the required widening of Faison Boulevard between 17 and Park Avenue, which would include the signal install that you're referencing, Mr. Bustos.
Okay.
And it's also understanding that they would like to pursue we wait on steel nowadays, 6 to 7 months for poles, and that's the reason he just mentioned why it's pushed back for Coleman. That's the same reason that they would like to pursue a temporary install, which we can approve.
Okay.
And that's where that one is.
And the second thing, at Faison and 17, now you just said they were going to widen that, I believe. Right now, you know, there's one lane that goes up here and turns left.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not worried about that. And then there's one lane that can go straight across to Charleston National or turn right. And when this car that's turning right wants to go straight across, they stop. Traffic backs up all the way down. So what folks have taken to doing is they just pull right over here on, and this is all paved, but it's striped. They're just making a lane out of this so they can go straight across and not impede the people who are turning right. Is there any way we can get that just striped? I mean, they're doing it anyway, so that they can go straight ahead, can stop and wait while all the people, all the high school students from Oceanside and Mondo and all can go ahead and turn right.
We've been strategizing on the best way to approach that.
Okay.
That's going to require another department. That's at intersection 17.
What we're looking for is some interim solution, and that project is approved by DOT because it comes to their right of way. So we don't really have the authority to go out and restripe it, but what we can do, of course, is adjust the timing as appropriate. So that that certainly we're clearing that queue if it does build. But there's not, it's about, as you show it there, it's about 50 or 60 feet, and that doesn't meet the requirements for a standard turn, standard through lane. So it's, we would have that difficulty getting approved through the DOT.
Okay.
So our option then becomes, how can we address the any buildup with timing, with the signal timing? Longer green time for the approach, whatever.
You mean solid green, so both straight ahead and right can get through?
It, right, on that approach, I don't think we have any protected left, so just, yes, more green time. More green time for the side street approaches.
Okay, because it backs up to Costco, and then Park Boulevard and Faison backs almost to Oceanside. It's, it can get really kind of ridiculous. But it's just, you know, one lane with a lot of kids wanting to get
let us,
to and from school.
Yes, sir. Let it, if we, at least on the 17 at the signal, let us work on that timing and see if we can get that freed up.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Sir.
Mr. Brown?
Just an unrelated note. At one point, didn't the town provide some funding to the gas station there at the base of the bridge for people to park who are walking the bridge? Or am I dreaming that? Didn't we rent out some space there at the gas station for parking spaces?
I know they offered free parking. They offered free parking. I'm not aware of any action by the town that leased space or anything like that. I think they just did it because they knew people would use the convenience.
Okay. All right. I must be making that up then. Thanks.
I know the town kind of gave them an award or something. They recognized the gas station for providing those spots. I recall that. So that's all we gave them. Finally, Billy Swales Boulevard, we have our second public information meeting tomorrow night, mm-hmm. and it's going to be at the Brickyard Clubhouse from 5 to 7. And we'll present three or four different design alternatives through that corridor. And after that meeting, we'll proceed with wrapping up the NEPA document and kind of moving the project forward.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Any other updates?
No, sir.
Is that like Penn?
Yep. Any other updates?
No, sir.
Is that like Penn?
Yep. Any other updates?
No, sir.
Is that like Penn?
Any other updates?
No, sir.
Is that like Penn?
Yep. Any other updates?